Before the day departs, three flocks of birds still pass, and a glow above the city's roofs. The streets, alleys, and squares gasp for air. A storm rolls in far from the western sky. Like a marble, cobalt blue, promising lightning, thunder, rain, and perhaps a bit of cool. We aren't going anywhere. The gleam of morning light to the east, the swinging bells of noon, the color play of dusk, and the time of bats and owls follow again and again, again and again. We are beyond the moving hours. We are above the world and ages. While the river sends its waters steadfast through portals and gates, until the sea appears to the southeast in the Dobruja, under the beating wings of herons and pelicans, while the winds blow across the planets and moons, and nothing and everything happens in the vastness of each second. We aren't going anywhere, to no place, and in no direction. We are inanimate, but telling without words, silently meaningful, in the face of what was, what is, and what will be. But who can read us? You on the thresholds of the mind, you on the paths through your own grand epic, you on the bridges to nowhere, in the countless wars, in the ruins and rebuilt houses, between the stone monuments and boulevards, all errant, each in their own way, in yesterday, today, tomorrow. Like fallen snow, you cover the earth. You go everywhere, stay everywhere. And sometimes you eat the pit of the fruit and pile the world on a fire. The eloquent rumble of your history is carried by the river. Like all rivers, it carries with it what you did, until the mouth comes into sight at the end of the plain. There, in the ebbing current, its freight sinks to the ground, unavoidably, and settles there as an obstacle. But the water flows around it and branches out under the beating wings of the herons and pelicans, which do not search for insights or justifications, just for fish. What's the matter with you? Are you looking for the forests at the upper reaches which you traversed side by side? Are you looking for the glade with the wavy grass, those wafting butterflies, lighter than ash? All this is far outside your city, upriver, and there's no paved way leading back. You know this, and do not want to know it. You hold your hearts drawn, clenched tight with both hands, and you strike. That is why you are alive, because others die. Why did you lend us your guise? Was the burning bush tired from all the futile miracles? Before you decide what matters, a life passes by like nothing. But you are seen, that is certain, every single one of you. The old woman dressed in black, and the shadow she casts, black and silent like herself. Two black siblings under a light blue sky, black on the slate-colored square, black in front of the whispering hedges green. Two hunched beings, but it is one woman. She does not look up to the gods, nor to the mythical creatures up there. She does not respond to their salute. Why should she? She knows nothing about them. Nothing about Savoyard princes or erstwhile heroic ages, about palaces and pompous halls where walls are decorated with gold and floors are red-brown marble. Never has she looked over the city from there, even though it's her home since the cradle. Never has she asked where the river flows and what it does there. Had she heard of the herons and pelicans in the Dobruja, she would take them for fiction. Mostly, she looks down to the ground, and she knows little, but she suspects something. She does not have much time left. And here in the area of near death, which is blacker than her own black, here at the shore of the darkest water, one regrets the careless words. One regrets the careless hours. So she is silent in this area, 'cause the days flee from the smallest noise. She is always dressed in coat and hat, for the world can be a cold strand, where hours after hours happen, but mean nothing anymore. She would lie and steal for a light breath and for a sip of forgiveness. But she would not ask for it. So she moves on, slow and silent, past the stone monsters, with their heads of women and winged lion bodies. They do not tell her anything either, nor would they pose a question to someone like her. Moving on, she thinks about what carried her away from the ridge of her last sleep. More blackness. But also a few roses, white with fresh blossoms, and a few hours like these roses. Or were they moments? Earlier, much earlier, she'd give names to the days and nights. Wine on the tongue, light as if from shells, far and away. And she herself was blank. Moving on, she hears a chant. She hears the polyphonic past. That was a lifetime ago, when one sang for her under the half-open window, when her young face was a shiny moon in all mirrors, and the smell of cherries followed her everywhere. Her eyes were colored cobalt blue, and they saw but one present, while the young men down in the courtyard sang and laughed. It was summer, and they did not bear any blame. Not yet. Time was flying high, between the vines, between the shooting galleries and roller coasters, between the trunks of the beeches, where one could be careless and invisible in their foliage from last year. It rose above the wavy grass of the glade, above the blossoming poppies on the edge of the fields. But later it crashed to the ground again, all the faster. It had learned nothing from the birds, so it seemed, nothing at all. It did not learn to use the winds. The old woman moves on, black, slow and silent, and her shadow sibling is with her. And the children play in the courtyards. Just like back then in the summer of 1927, when suddenly the air in the city filled with cries, when words were followed by gunshots and chairs and tables and closets rained down on the pavement like pieces of a comet. The children play in the courtyards, and the old woman mutters against memory. But it is like the approaching storm. It comes as it pleases. Even with her eyes closed, she sees the paper showering down. She sees the windows of the stormed palace, where Justitia is said to hold office. She sees the windows spout paper and flames, and hears the thunder of hooves. The cavalry arrives in flesh and blood with bare swords like in the past. No one has tamed their steeds. And the children play in the courtyards. They always play. They play against all of the shadows, which they do not see just yet, but perhaps already sense. They play the day long, with the light, with all kinds of things together, when you let them. The children are loud. When nothing happens around them, they are quiet. When they hear the noise of engines and speeches, then the children look up, and the noise bolts out like a swarm of wasps, only to buzz back again in the streets and alleys, back to the squares and into the courtyards, where the children have stopped playing and exchange silent glances. Outside, the fathers drive past. They drive past in trucks with one mind. They stand on truck beds carrying flags and guns as if they were monstrances. Their reverence is numb, like their obedience, and their fear is like their resolve, gruesome, clueless, and old. You on the bridges to nowhere in the countless wars, you pile the world on a fire. You hold your hearts drawn and you strike. You are alive because others die. But you are seen. You are seen. That is certain. Every single one of you. The children gaze after the fathers. They know they are alone now, for their mothers are not at home either. And perhaps no one will call for them when it gets dark. So they keep playing. The memory sets in with the storm. The old woman, on her way through the city, on her way through the blackness, mutters a word against her will. It mutters itself. Shuttened off. Shadow Village. As if someone had custom made this name for a special occasion. It is 1927 and no one says it yet. No one knows it yet. But it is between the wars. The noises of the city are loud and metallic, different than before. A shriek in the curves of the roads and the alleys no longer smell of horses and fresh bread. Most horses are only seen atop roofs and pedestals, and these steeds have no smell. It is between the wars. Europe is old and America far, too far to be seen. And the children play in the courtyards. Their balls are no globes, like the atlases carry. Their laughter resembles the flight of swallows, and they only beg when they are told to do so. The memory sets in with the storm. Shuttened off, shadows. It is 1927, and the air in the city is full of cries. The sleep of the just bears monsters. Massa damnata. Massa Renata, who is condemned and who is redeemed? Whose side are you on when murderers are acquitted in court and when windows spout Justitia's papers and flames until you hear the thunder of hooves and the cavalry arrives in flesh and blood with bare swords, like in the past? The old woman is young and she screams. Her face, her hair, her hands are poppy flower red. But she is not on the glade with the wavy grass. She is not on the edge of the fields with the blossoming poppies. She is in the midst of the city, her blouse full of blood, and no tamer of steeds in sight. The fire spouts from the roof and the windows. She sees cascades of splintering glass. She stands up to her throat in bursting chairs and tables and closets. But she did not get hit. It is not her blood. Very young is he. Younger than she, and he cannot believe it himself. That's how he looks, that's how he looks at her, because it's his blood and not hers, because he sees the shores of the darkest water and the blackest black in the midst of the city, in the midst of cries and swords and gunshots under the thunder of hooves between the wars. That was 1927. She left him there. She left him behind. But she sees it almost every night, how he looks at her. How he looks at her and dies. How he looks at her and dies because he shouted, "Bring the court to court!" The old woman moves on. She walks through the area of near death, while the river carries away history's debris to the southeast, to the Dubruja, to the sea, where unknown herons and pelicans hunt indifferently just for fish. The old woman moves on across the city, which does not belong to Savoyard princes, not to gods and fable creatures or stone monsters with heads of women and winged lion bodies. The city belongs to those who read A Tamer of Steeds. It belongs to those who are like she once was. Blank. And the children play in the courtyards. They play all the time. They play against all of the shadows, and they play with a tiny bit of luck.